Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Tuesday is Golden Oldie Day here at Offbeat Oregon, which means I'll be reading from one of my very first columns written back in 2009. Thank you again for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Maybe it's for the best that LeGrand Hill turned out to be such a lousy husband. Had he not beaten his wife and whipped their baby, George, Bethania Hill would likely not have dumped him and gone on to become the first female physician on the West Coast, and the women's suffrage movement would have lost one of its brightest stars. Bethania's decision to leave LeGrand was the more remarkable because she was just 18 when she made it, after 4 years of marriage. Also, this was 1858, and divorce was simply not contemplated. When she left, the neighbors were scandalized. Not that they were very likely surprised. LeGrand was by all accounts astonishingly lazy, and the only thing he showed a real talent for was hunting. After he lost their farm to foreclosure, her parents gave them some land and built a shell of a cabin on it for LeGrand to finish out with things like a floor and a chimney and cooking area. It remained in that condition for years, and Bethania had to do all the cooking and domestic chores outdoors. But she put up with it, and possibly with some physical abuse as well, until the day he, quote, whipped my baby, who was around 24 months old at the time, by the way, about a two-year-old, unmercifully, and struck and choked me. Then she was gone, and so was little George. Within a year or two, she was divorced with full custody and her maiden name back. Suddenly at loose ends, Miss Bethania Owen started leaving little George with his grandmother, where the little tyke played with his young aunts and uncles, and going to school. A few years later, she was actually teaching a class of 16 students, two of whom were more advanced than she. Quote, I took their books home with me, and with the help of my brother-in-law, I managed to prepare the lessons beforehand, and they never suspected my incompetence, she wrote later. But teaching and the grueling schedule of piecework jobs, chiefly laundry and sewing, were a means to an end for Bethania. By working hard and being very thrifty, she saved up enough money to launch a dressmaking and millinery business in Roseburg. This business became very successful and generated enough money for her to send George to the University of California, Berkeley, when he was just 14. Once he was off to college, so was she. One of the skills she'd picked up in her life was medical. Nursing was, in that age, grueling and unappreciated work. Well, you know, what's changed? Actually, quite a lot. It was worse then. It was easy to get this work, and it was hard to do. Precisely the kind of work a driven person like Bethania would take to fill an unexpected gap in her schedule of piecework jobs. Along the way, she discovered she liked medicine. So, in 1870, she handed the Roseburg business off to a younger sister and headed east, to a medical school in Philadelphia, one which taught eclectic medicine. She returned a year or so later. Medical school in the 1870s was somewhat less lengthy than it is today, although not necessarily less arduous, and opened a medical practice. Although 1870s medicine was a bit of a Wild West kind of thing, eclectic medicine was not mainstream, and its favor was already fading. There's a pretty good chance that Bethania had chosen the eclectic college because she was unable to get admission to a more mainstream medical school. There was still rampant sex discrimination in that industry at that time. But when young George graduated from Berkeley, she did not consider an eclectic college for him. She sent him off to Willamette University, and 2 years later, he was an MD. Then she herself went out to get a real degree. After being turned away from several of the medical college boys' clubs, she found a place at the University of Michigan, and in 1880, after 2 years of study, she got it. Dr. Bethania Owens, M.D., was now ready to take the place she'd earned in the society she had, in a very real sense, conquered. She became one of Portland's most well-known citizens, a good friend of Abigail Scott Duniway, and a powerful voice for women's suffrage. She went on to marry Colonel John Adair in 1884 and changed her name to Owens Adair. He seems to have been a problem for her. He spent her money as fast as she earned it on ill-considered and dreamy schemes. She retired from practice in 1905 and after moving to Warrenton, died in 1926 at age 86. A modern person will probably find just one major negative thing in Bithynia's story. Like so many others of her era, she was a believer in the science, that's science in big fat scare quotes, of eugenics. She became a powerful voice for forced sterilization, and her advocacy bore fruit in 1925 when the state adopted a statute establishing a eugenics board. In the 60 years after that, some 2,600-odd criminals and people deemed, quote, feeble-minded or insane, had their reproductive organs stripped out, in an episode for which then-Governor John Kitzhaber issued a formal apology in 2002. This article was first published on August 14, 2010, under the headline, West Coast First Female Doctor Lived in Oregon. Key sources included works by Ralph Friedman, Dorothy M. Johnson, John Kitzhaber, and the Oregon Historical Society at OHS.org. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do? Email me at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Also, let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead. Our next show is going to be coming your way around 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.